And good morning, Harvest. Man, welcome. If we have not had the pleasure of meeting yet, my name is Andrew Pierce. I get to serve on staff here, and I love it. It's my favorite things. I get to be the youth guy, so a lot of my people that I spend my weeks with are here. It really is an honor and joy to be with you today. But some more about me, just so you can know me. I grew up in the Czech Republic. My parents were IMB missionaries over there. They still are. And when I was 18, I graduated high school, and I moved to the States. I ended up eventually taking a gap year here in Spring, Texas. And I needed to get my first big boy job. I was trying to grow up. And for those of you that know, growing up is a fun and painful process. It takes learning. You make mistakes. You grow and learn, and lessons are taught to you. Some you figure out. So my first job, I worked at Chick-fil-A, which of course was my pleasure. And I loved it. Man, so great. Truly, my pleasure. It was great. But keep in mind, this is my first full-time job ever. Where I'm here, this is what I do. This also meant that I received my first full-time paycheck ever. And with my newfound freedom in adulthood and finances, I decided that I would wisely spend the majority of my first paycheck on a Bluetooth speaker that was way too large for its own good. And in case you thought it was just a part of the sound system this morning, here is said speaker. Bought it in 2018. It was pretty great. Loved it. It was great. Within the first week, I used it so much that it was pretty much beyond sending back. It was like, hey, also, no 18-year-old should just, like, hey, you know what I should do is spend 50% of my paycheck on that thing. So, great. And then, I assume you know, very quickly, I realized, I also need to buy food. I also need to pay for my bills and my subscriptions. I also need to buy gas. It was a pretty apparent reality to me. And so that pushed me towards the safest thing I knew I could do. I was like, hey, mom and dad, like, how y'all doing? I know you're 8 hours ahead. Hope you're having a great day. I need help, and I'm so sorry. I did not manage my finances well. I didn't realize. I just got excited. I couldn't wait. I even had people try to talk me out of this. I was like, no, it's a great idea. And I didn't. So I made that decision, and it was a poor one. But then my parents used that opportunity to respond in grace, but also with instruction to train me. So it's like, hey, we'll help you out, sure. But also recognize, like, you're an adult. Like, you're in the States. You're on your own. There is a part of growing up here that needs to take place in how you manage your money and how you know your responsibilities and actions. And so recognize this as the lesson that it is. It's like, great, you know, thank you so much. And my parents are so gracious for that. They could have said, sorry, figure it out. But they helped me. Now, so that story, great. But then imagine that after that, you know, I received my next paycheck. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's another paycheck. Imagine, like, I bought another Bluetooth speaker, a gaming system, or, I don't know, 12 basketballs, just whatever it is, that I wanted to continue to just make irresponsible decisions with my finances, with my money. I would be a fool to do so. I would be a fool to continue to make irresponsible decisions when what my parents had done, it already came my way. Hey, learn this thing. I said, great, thanks. And then just continued to make poor decision after poor decision after poor decision. I never grew. I lacked. It's as if I never grew up and grew in maturity. And I think we find this to be true in our faith as well. That there are lessons and times where as we enter into our relationship with Christ, these opportunities to grow, to mature, they either present themselves to us, or we just ignore it. We don't grow, we don't pursue growth. And so we find ourselves where we have, after a few years or months or days, we are spiritually stagnant. Or we are spiritual infants in this way, that despite having followed Christ, we haven't grown. We've just stayed. And so, in the same way, whatever this Bluetooth speaker might be, there are times when we are to grow and to learn, and spiritually that we are to be growing. Over a course of time, we should see that we have matured and grown. Believers are called out of spiritual infancy and into maturity in Christ. And so how do we move from immaturity into maturity? Now, today's passage, this is not a, hey, dial, you know, 1-800-THIS to get this formula, but this is a common way that we see this process take place, where an older person in the faith or somebody comes alongside us and calls us out of our immaturity, says, hey, recognize this, recognize it. And so this is not a prescription, but how it happens and something that we should heed. This is a rebuke that should also hit our hearts and spur us towards action. And so today we're going to talk about three things. First, it's being called out of spiritual infancy, called to constant practice, and called up to maturity. And so today we'll be in Hebrews 5, verse 11, through the first part of chapter 6, verse 3. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to have one. In the back, there are these in between, beyond that hallway. This is on page 1019 on my screen here. It's just in the Word document that it's on. But page 1019 here. Let's read this. In verse 11, it says, "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, and of instruction about washing, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." Let's pray. Lord God, we just want to lift up our time. God, as we dive into your word, would you help us? Lord, would you help us to understand, Holy Spirit, would you convict our hearts of how we might grow in maturity, how we might grow to be more like you. Lord, we need you, we love you, we praise you in your holy name. Amen. So first, called out of spiritual infancy. Before I reread those verses, some context is helpful, or else it just feels like, hey, this hurts. Why just, you know, we've been talking about Jesus being the high priest, why this now? And so last week, Jesse talked about that Jesus is the qualified priest. He's the perfect priest, the eternal priest. But in that very last verse before today's passage, it says, Jesus being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And so in chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, he kind of, especially in 7, he talks about what this means, Jesus and Melchizedek, this whole thing about the priestly order, and so he'll talk about that. But he pauses here, and it's pretty clear in the tone that the author of Hebrews is using. He's like, I'm afraid that the weight and meaning of what we're about to talk about is just going to go over your head. So he pauses, and he says, you're here. Your maturity is here, and yet what we're dealing with is here. You're supposed to be here. And so he pauses, and this rebuke is needed, it's felt, and it's one that we can also apply and be challenged with as well. So in verse 11, about this, again, about Melchizedek, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. And so this phrase dull of hearing, it's nothros in the Greek. This means sluggish or lazy or dull. It means that we can drift or live in a world of neglect or passivity. This is not an intellectual problem where it's like, man, you're unable to grasp it, but we're just going to keep going anyway. He's like, no, this is something that we've been taught. This is something you should know, but you're here, but you should be here. For whatever reason, because of a lack of effort, a lack of practice, a lack of applying, we should be here, and there's important things to deal with, but we are here in our faith, in this spiritual infancy, this spiritual immaturity. Why? Why is this happening? And so enough time had passed that they should be teachers. It should be to the point where they're able to encourage others in their walk in faith and remind them of the stoicheia, these elementary principles, the ABCs of faith. But instead, he's saying, even we have to reteach you these things. He's like, we're having to go back and rehash these things. Again, the stoicheia, the ABCs. He's like, we've learned this and know this, and we should be spurred on towards more things to talk about this, but I fear that you won't grasp it. And so this milk and solid food contrast, it speaks to our maturity in him. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Infants survive on milk. They don't immediately go in, from what I understand. I don't have a child yet, but they eventually go into greater degrees of food over the course of time. I imagine you shouldn't take a baby home and then just feed it a Big Mac. I don't think it'll turn out super well, I believe. Parents in the room can back me up. But it takes time, right, to go from milk into solid food as you slowly get them into that. And so in the same way, a Christian's growth also, it starts small, where we begin with basic things. This rebuke is not for the spiritual infant who is a spiritual infant. So if you're new in your faith, it's like, hey, I've done this. You're not expected to be a grown up 20 years on in the understanding of theology and apologetics of what it means to live it out in discernment. That's not what this is saying. There are some of you who have just placed your faith in Christ, and so being a spiritual infant is expected. What the rebuke is for those over a long period of time who have remained here, who have heard the word, heard its challenge, how to live in Christ, the things to respond to, and yet they haven't, because they are dull of hearing, because they're sluggish and lazy, and there's passivity in our faith. And so why, like, where have we become passive? Where has this happened in our life? And so if we've been following him and we are here and need to be here, there is cause for concern in our hearts. And so this echoes the author's language earlier in Hebrews 2:1, where it says, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And so we are dealing with important spiritual matters. And if we lack understanding because we're not applying, we're not hearing, we're not in constant practice, we're like, it's optional. Spiritual growth, like growing in Christ, it's optional. Then we've missed something. Something isn't right. There's tension there between how we are living and where we're supposed to be. And so if you've completed first grade ever, would you just raise your hand? Congratulations. So first grade ever, great. And as far as I know, great. You know, in first grade, you learn the fundamentals and just so many fundamentals, both from school itself, how it kind of paints the picture for what school life is like, but also for life. It teaches you basic principles, basic things. But imagine that you just kind of stayed back, not because you couldn't, not because you failed the class, not because whatever, you just wanted to retake it. And so you're 37 in here, still in first grade. You're like, bro, I mean, first grade is the best. You just keep going back and back and back. Now, the fundamentals are important. To go to first grade is an important thing. The things that you learn are great. But the point of first grade is not to stay and rest in the glory of first grade. It's to move on. It spurs you towards more things. And what he's saying is, if you're 37 still in first grade, you should be able to teach first graders. You should be here. But it's like, oh yeah, I can teach math. Math is math. It's like, I can do that, I think. But you should be here. But for some reason, we have stayed in first grade. And again, reminder, in this analogy, in our faith, some of us might legitimately be in first grade. And that's okay to learn those things, to root ourselves in Jesus and then grow. But the challenge, the rebuke here, is for those that have completed this and have remained spiritual infants, have remained spiritually immature, despite this call and need for us to grow. And so in a passage like this, it necessitates that we self-examine. I think about in this book we're reading about in our staff, it's called The Pursuit of Holiness. And it talks about this farmer, where the farmer, yes, depends on God for the rain, for the crops to grow, the things that he doesn't have control over. That he's like, I don't know, but there is a responsibility given to the farmer to plant. To plant the seed and say, all right, God, it's time for you to do what only you can do, but I want to be responsible with what's set before me. And so this rebuke here is to recognize, yes, there is a part of our spiritual growth that only God can do. By faith, we even enter into this process, but we are given a responsibility to grow, to pursue him, to apply his word. It's an important thing. And so to ignore that is sinful. To ignore that is that we are not doing what the Lord has for us. And so in our self-examination, I'm going to have a few things up here. A few things to say, hey, what potentially is keeping us stuck in spiritual infancy? What I would encourage you to do is if you have a notebook, either write all five down and circle the one that hits the most, or if you have your phone and you want to write all five down and highlight the one that hits, or if you just want to read them and write the one that hits our heart. And so why are you stuck in spiritual infancy? Is it because of comfort and familiarity? Is it because of busyness and neglect? Is it unresolved sin or shame? Is it fear for what maturity might demand? Is it a lack of community or a problem of isolation? When you read those, if you have placed your faith in Christ and you read those things and say, what is key, like, where am I the most, like, ah, no, it's not that, what will maturity demand of me? What thing is keeping you? What thing can we surrender to the Lord and say, God, I need to grow. I don't know how it doesn't make sense here, but God, I trust that it is you, that you have me. Comfort and familiarity. Busyness and neglect, unresolved sin or shame, fear for what maturity might demand, a lack of community or a problem of isolation. You probably already know what it is. Without even reading those, as we say, hey, what's keeping you stuck? That little thing here, it's like, I mean, it's probably not that. It's probably not that thing that I know is actually taking up most of my life. It probably is that thing. And the heart check question is, at the end of, you know, at the end of time, before Christ, when we're there accounting for deeds and life, and yes, we are covered by his blood and what he's done if we have placed our faith in him, but are we willing to stand before him and say, yes, this thing is why I did not grow. I was willing to keep this thing to stop growing closer to you. And that feels harsh, but hear this rebuke. Are we willing to let this to stifle our growth? The answer is no, it is not worth it. So can we grow up? Can we own this? Can we walk out of here today saying, yes, I'm tired of being held back, and so I want to take that first step of faith. Say, God, how can I grow in you? God, I want to move on towards maturity. I'm tired of a lack of community being the reason that I'm stagnant. I'm immature. Lord, help me. So we're called out of spiritual infancy, and we're called to constant practice. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And so we move from milk into solid food. And so I'm going to use a tool here, or just some new phrases to talk about this passage to help us understand it in a new light. I'm going to talk about a leading indicator and a lagging indicator of something. And so a leading indicator is what you can control. A lagging indicator is what is produced from the leading thing. So if you talk about push-ups, my leading indicator is that I'm doing the push-ups. I'm like, I'm going to do it. It's going to be great. I'm going to start now, right now, 12 push-ups now. Great. The lagging indicator is strength, that eventually I will grow in the strength. The leading indicator, I can start this action now. The lagging indicator is what is grown because of what I started here. And so in this same way, in our subject of growth here, constant practice is the leading indicator of growth here. That what we are challenged to do, for those who move from milk to solid food, for the mature who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil, this leading indicator of constant practice in our need to grow. We must be in constant practice in our faith, where we are in pursuit of Christ. We are reading and applying his word. We're living out what the word says. It's not just hearing it. It's not just being here on Sunday morning. Great, box checked. It's how does this change my life? Jesus, if my life is yours, if I've surrendered my life to you, why am I pretending like it's not? What does this require of me? We are to be in constant practice here. Just as a child is, you know, trained to grow from milk into solid food, so too are we to be in constant practice. We are our spiritual maturity to grow through effort and practice as well. It's an active transition. It takes practice. It takes work, consistency. And so is constant a lot? Constant practice. Constant feels like a heavy word. Man, like constant is constant. Like that's a lot. And yet we live in this world where our sinful heart, our sinful desires are always at work. We have an enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour and kill. He works constantly. Man, can we pursue the Lord? Be in constant practice to apply these truths, these commands, to have our eyes continually lifted to the King and say, God, what would you God, what does it mean that I follow you? How does this change my relationships with others? How does this change my job, these things that I do every day? We are called to be in constant practice. So that is the leading indicator of growth, that we are in constant practice. The lagging indicator here is discernment. In this passage, it talks about through our constant practice and handling of the things of Christ, we grow in discernment here to distinguish good from evil. And so those who are mature through constant practice have grown because they've practiced it. They've heard this thing, and as they deal and walk in the things of Jesus become more apparent. And they continue to walk in that, pursue him. And think about a child. That it makes sense that over the course of time, they begin to develop their own understanding of how the world works, how things work, how food works, whatever it is. So in the same way, the spiritual infant, over course of time, they learn to say, God, what is of you and what is not? God, how do I pursue you? How do I not? What is sin? What's good? God, what is of you? And so we are called to constant practice to grow in these things instead of remain in spiritual stagnancy. And so I think about when I was 10, I was about 3'7", and I tried out for my basketball team. And I did not make it. I didn't even make callback. It was very humbling. But my dad, he worked at a gym. On Sundays, I was able to join him, and so I would go, and as a, you know, however short, I mean, my form was terrible. I was trying so hard, like, it was terrible, but there was one day where this gentleman came over. He's like, hey, like, how seriously are you wanting to play basketball? I was like, yeah, I'd like to. He's like, okay, can I teach you how to shoot? I was like, please. And so going from what was comfortable initially into, you know, talk about balance and elbow eyes, follow through what makes sense, how I can consistently create a good shot. It wasn't comfortable at first. It took a lot of practice to eventually hone that craft of how do I shoot well. And so eventually it happened. Every Sunday would go and I'd shoot. He gave me a practice to do at home when I was just didn't have a basketball hoop. And so there was something to it. And eventually, yeah, my shot greatly improved. But not only that did constant practice lead to that result, but I also, eventually I was able to teach others as well. Because I had grown in that knowledge, grown in that discipline of how to shoot, when to shoot, you know, how to do this. I'm able to look at somebody else and say, hey, why is your arm ending up over here? It needs to be here. And so there's just little things, but we see this process here, spiritual discernment, this spiritual need for constant practice, it works the same way. We need to be constant in practice. We will grow. And then the beauty of it is that you're able to then come alongside other people and teach them as well. It's part of what this rebuke is about. You should be here, able to lead and teach these people. But we've not. We've remained stagnant and immature. What is happening here? And so there's a constant, there's a challenge to be in constant practice to grow in our maturity in him. If we want to grow, we must also take it seriously in here. that thought of, man, okay, what time is it? When is lunch? When is the chili cook-off? Great. Even that temptation to get away from this thing, what is happening in our hearts that we can say, no, I need to take this seriously, my spiritual growth seriously. I want to grow in you, Jesus. I want to continue to grow in this. What do you have for me, Lord? How can I bring people alongside me and teach and grow? And how can I discipline myself? We need to take this seriously. And if that's the case, what is our move? Today, what is your move today, even before you walk out? If you happen to write down one of those five things, if you're dropping that thing, if that's what you say, okay, heard, addressed over here, then what are you picking up? What is the action? Say, yeah, I'm going to do something a little bit uncomfortable here. I need to grow here. And so in terms of areas of growth, what will you pick up? We'll highlight a few of these areas in our next point, but there is a challenge here. To identify this thing, yes, I'm okay, this has been stifling my growth. And then what do I pick up now? What am I challenged to do? And so we're called to constant practice, but we're also called up to maturity. In chapter 6, it says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. And so the author he's urging these Jewish Christians on. He's saying, hey, this persecution is happening. Yes, he's not, when he says leave these elementary things and pursue Christ, he's not saying disregard all the essentials here and just go. Like, just figure it out, just go. What he's saying is leave behind as in you've learned and now take and grow. Go, like, stop just staying here and trying to stoke the fire of fundamentals. Like, he's like, you know this. Go. And so it's like, okay, leave that and press on. Press on to more maturity, constant practice, not to discard the gospel, but to move on and build on these foundational truths, these stoicheia. So he speaks to six elementary doctrines, right? Repentance from dead works, faith towards God, instruction about washing, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. So he talks about these things, and think about these Jewish Christians that this author is writing to, that they would have been facing a lot of pressure from this the Judaism movement, from previous belief before Christ. So it's like, who are we? What do we know? How do we pursue this? But he's saying, hey, we've learned, taught, it's now time to grow from this. So I understand that there might be some other voices here, but root yourself in Jesus and press on. Grow in discernment to tell what is from Christ and what is not. Grow, mature, and be in constant practice here. And so again, we're in first grade. We finished first grade. It's time to move up. It's time to move on towards maturity. It's time to apply. It's time to wrestle with the things in the Word. It's time to grow. It's time to learn. But that verse 3, again, is very important here. And this we will do if God permits. We press forward in dependence. We recognize again that we as farmers can plant the seed, do what we need to here, but God can only do the things that only God can do. And so we must press forward in dependence here. We say yes, we want to build on these elementary principles, but we press on and we do this in faith. If God permits, as he leads, there is a God that we serve and he grows us. But we also have a responsibility here to grow in our faith, to be in constant practice. And so as Paul was talking in Philippians 3, just forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. This call to press on towards more things. God, like, this is my relationship with you. I'm going to chase after you, pursue you, grow in our maturity, be in constant practice. We need this attitude as well in our lives to continue to mature and apply the word. To hear these things and for Jesus not to be a part of this worship song that we sing and that it's not a part of our life at all. How are our lives changed by this Savior that we've surrendered our life to? And so as we close down, what would it look like for you to press on towards maturity? What steps can we take out of the spiritual infancy and towards maturity in him? And or one last phrasing of this, what requires constant practice? What thing can we pursue? And so these might look like steps taken toward God. This is a more disciplined prayer life, a more intentional pursuit of him. Steps taken towards scripture, which is a deeper level of study, a more intentional pursuit of scripture itself in your own life. Steps taken towards surrender, laying down burdens, confessing sins. This might be forgiving somebody in your life or asking forgiveness of someone in your life that needs to happen. Steps taken toward others, and this could be either, hey, I know that I can't, like, I want to disciple somebody younger than me in the faith. Or it could be, I need to be discipled by somebody older than me in the faith, and I haven't pursued either one. And so I need to take a step towards that. And it can be a step taken towards community, growing alongside a life group or D group, or serving with the gifts the Lord has given you. So I know that that's a lot, but we see these things, and it's like, God, where would you have me grow? And so a question, a request that we can give before the Lord, God, would you give me clarity and wisdom and discernment on how I can best move towards maturity in my faith with you? We've talked about being called out of spiritual infancy, called to constant practice, called up to maturity. And so what is our move today? What is the thing? What can we say, man, Lord, I want to lay this down and pick this up. For this not to be just a sermon to be heard, a box to be checked, but say, God, how would you have me grow today? God, what are you asking of me? What is that thing that I can lay down and pursue you? Let's wrestle with that. Church, be encouraged and challenged here. Let's pray.